You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
All of the ministers, our Bishop, First Lady Walker, and First Lady Baker, a focused mind. Again, the main group of people in our text are the disciples of Jesus. Who are the main group of people in our text this morning? The disciples of Jesus. The word disciple simply means a disciplined one. But I want to give you a couple of definitions to help us further understand how important it is to be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is two things, a learner and a follower. What is a disciple? Help me. A learner and a follower. How many young people, young adults, even adults in here, you know that you are born again? You're saved by a show of hands. As a disciple of Christ, two things should be taking place in your life, even in your young age. You should be learning and following Jesus. And we know Jesus, the man, is not among us, but he has people that he has given authority or leaders for us to follow, right? So what is a disciple? A and a follower. A learner is someone who receives and applies pastoral knowledge and understanding. You come to God's house, you hear the message, and you get good understanding. You've learned something. But a true learner puts into action or applies what they have learned. If you are stupid, you learn but don't do. But if you are a disciple indeed, you continue in what you have learned, or you continue in the truth. In other words, you are a young person that hears and applies. Am I talking about anyone here on this morning? Now, I'm not saying you're flawless. I'm not saying that you have to be 100% perfect, but how many can look in their lives and say, I am a learner. I hear the word and I apply it. Come up short sometime, but I am a disciple indeed. I continue in truth or the word. If I'm talking about you, somebody say, he talking about me. Now, this is what's messed up, because you have young people in the church and young people outside of the church that have learned things about the will of God, but they would rather learn things about the world and put those things into action. See, you can't love God and love the world. You gotta choose one or the other, because the love of the Father is not in the world. You got to change the game, young woman. You got to change the game, young man. You may learn some things on social media. You may learn some things at school or in your family. But you have to be peculiar or particular about what you put into action. You just don't think the way everybody thinks. You don't talk the way everybody talks. And you don't do what everybody does. You got to remember that we are his chosen generation. We are royal priesthood. Am I talking right? We are a holy people, or his special people, that have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praise of him who saved us. Am I right about it? But you got a lot of young people, they're learning how to think, talk, and act based upon what the world teaches them. You see how the world carries themselves, you learn it, and that's how you carry yourself. You hear what they say in the music, and you learn, and then you apply. You don't want to be that type of young person. You don't want to watch a television show or something that you're streaming, and you're learning, and you apply that to your life. God wants us to be transformed. He doesn't want us to be conformed to this world. So it's imperative for the 45 to 50 minutes that the pastor is up teaching that I am receiving a good understanding, and that's what I'm applying to my life. That's what I'm learning, not to be like the world, but to be like God. Are you with me? So I got to be taught. I got to learn. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's deal with this learning some more. Because young people, you can be coming to church, but just be religious. You just come because, you know, that's what my family do. That's what I was taught to do. But no, you come to God's house as a young woman, as a young man, to learn. You come here to be taught how to think, talk, and act. And then it's up to you to put it in action. So let's look at Isaiah 1 and 17. We're going to look at the first part of this verse. Again, we're looking at disciples. And a disciple does one thing we're talking about now. A disciple does what? Learns. What does a disciple do? They learn. Isaiah 1, 17 in part says, learn to do, help me, good. Let's say it again. Learn to do what? Good. A disciple needs to be taught how to do good. We all in here know how to sin. Why is that? Because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. It's just a part of our human nature. Didn't nobody have to teach us how to lie? Didn't nobody teach us how to do evil? That's that sin nature. And even if you saved and you dripping with the Holy Spirit, that old man, that old nature, every now and then it's going to try to rise up. And it's going to want to do some things that are contrary to the will of God. That's why you need to be appreciative of having a church where you can come and get taught how to do good. You can get taught on how to do good in a wicked world. You can be taught how to live right, even though your peers may not choose to live right. I thank God I've been taught or learned how to do good. Good is synonymous in the text, young people, with the word. Because the Bible says that God is good to Israel. And we know God is the word, right? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So we have to be taught to do the word. And so when I'm being taught, young people, I need to make sure I'm learning. I'm listening to the prayer, but I'm also learning how to pray. I'm listening to the testimonies from the minister when they're receiving the offering and God's tithe, but I'm also learning what I should be doing. Then I'm hearing the praise team sing about worshiping God, but I'm also learning on how I should worship God. And then the cherry on top, when the preacher come for, going to reveal some secrets, going to be telling me some things that the Lord wants to do in my life. And I'm not just going to be a hearer of it. I'm making up in my mind I'm going to be a doer. How many are learning? All right, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So we need to learn to do good. Learn to do good. Psalm 119, 71. Again, disciples need to learn. Notice what the psalmist said. Psalm 119, 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, your word. So according to this verse, a disciple must learn from affliction. When you have trouble in your life, young people, when you mess up, when you make bad choices, or when God allows you to go through hardship, in the midst of what you are going through, you need to come out of that with something you have learned. When you have problems, young people, learn from them. Don't be hard-headed. Don't ignore trouble. God uses affliction, young people, to teach his disciples, to learn us. See, he'll allow you to go through a bad relationship. Now, if you stupid, you'll keep going through bad relationships. I'm just looking for somebody to love me. But you ain't learned a bad woman or a bad man when you see him, because you keep going back to the same type of woman or man. You ain't learned. If you wreck the car for speeding, if you wreck the car for running through a light or a stop sign, the next time you get in a vehicle, we hope you have learned. Slow down with that heavy foot. Ain't you learned? Man, these tickets ain't no joke. Man, these tickets, man, they put a hurting on you. When this going to cause my insurance to go back down? Good God, this, man, I'm paying an extra $75, $150. Why? Man, I keep getting these speeding tickets. Well, you on that dumb stuff. The easy solution is to slow down. See, you're going to have problems, young people, in life. But you got to make sure you learn. I said you got to make sure that you learn. I remember when I was young and I wasn't saved. I was in sin. And I thought I got this girl pregnant. Lord, y'all hear First Lady. But I ain't got no outside kids. It's all I got. Man, I pray, God, please. Please don't let her be pregnant. Oh, Jesus, please don't be pregnant. She wouldn't call me for some days. I'd be like, God, I hope she ain't pregnant. Gonna mess up my life. Oh, God. She called me back. No, I ain't pregnant. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Now, you would think I would have learned, went right back to doing the same dumb stuff. Don't be like, look at me, look at the pastor and say, don't be like Baker used to be. Learn from your affliction. Learn from your trouble. Learn from your bad mistakes. And get this, you don't have to go through everything, young folk, in life. Sometimes you need to look at other folks' mess ups, and you need to learn from their mess ups. You need to be able to look at your sister, your brother, your cousin, and say, if I do that, I'm going to jail just like them. I'm learning from their mess ups. She got cursed. What did she do to get cursed? Oh, let me make sure I don't do that. Experience is not the best teacher. You don't have to go through everything. You ain't got to sniff no coke to realize Jesus can save you. You ain't got to be no stripper. You ain't got to sell no drug. No, just listen to folk that used to do the drugs, that used to run the street. Listen to them women that got four kids and seven baby mamas and daddies and all of that. Just learn from their mistakes. Learn. It need to be taught like that. You got to learn. You can't be stupid nowadays. It's 2023. You can't be on that dumb stuff. Look at somebody and say, you got to learn. Mark 8:34. So a disciple needs to be taught to do good. A disciple needs to learn from affliction or trouble. But Mark 8:34, Jesus says, or it says, when he called the disciples to himself, with his disciples also, He said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him help me deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. I need a congregation that's going to participate. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny him or herself, take up his cross, and follow me. A disciple not only needs to be a learner, but a follower. Now, according to this verse, it's going to get a little tight. But in order to follow Jesus, disciples must deny themselves. Goes back to what I told you earlier. We have to have some discipline. It's going to be things that yourself, your flesh, wants to do. But if you are a true disciple, you have to deny the desires of yourself. I want to cuss out. Let me deny myself. Because I'm a disciple. Man, I want to dance to it. Hey, I want to dance. She backing up. I want to dance. Let me deny myself. Because I am a follower of Jesus. Man, I want to do something with this money, but my God is requiring an offering of me. Let me deny myself. How many in here have got to the point where you realize you got to talk to yourself? Do y'all talk to yourself? Sometimes you just gonna be like, you don't need to be doing that. No, you don't need to be going there. You have to deny yourself because self, the Bible says, has its own desires. Your eyes may want to look at porn, but you have to deny those. Nope, we ain't going to look at it. Nope, not going there. It'll take 2 minutes to look at it, but I'm going to deny my eyes what it wants. Woo-wee. She putting it right there in front of me. Lord have mercy. She smell good, too. And she got on that lipstick with the glitter. Oh, she looking good. She looking tasty. But I got to deny myself. See, young folk act like they self don't have desires. But y'all can't fool me. Y'all can't fool me. I done been there. I done that. And so when yourself rises up, young people, you have to reject yourself. Paul said we have to put ourselves under subjection. And you have to do this not just on Sundays, but every day. Because that flesh will rise up on you on a Monday. I said on a Tuesday. That flesh will use every opportunity it can get to try to cause us to enter into temptation or sin. And so we have to make sure as disciples that we constantly deny ourselves. Every now and then you have to call your own fast. Every now and then you got to have your own prayer revival. I said every now and then you have to kill or mortify, young people, the Bible says, the deeds of the flesh. Sometimes you just have to tell folk, I'm not coming around y'all. Because you know in your mind, every time you get around them, you get to doing stuff you have no business doing. And this ought to be the year where you say, enough is enough. I'm going to be a mature disciple this year. I'm going to start putting away childish things. I knew I wasn't going to get too many amens. When you start talking about that, putting that flesh under subjection, you're getting real close to people's feelings. But look at somebody on your road and say, get out your feelings. That's it. Get out your feelings. Part of being a real Christian, a real disciple, is self-denial. Am I right about it? So a disciple learns to do good, right? A disciple needs to learn from trouble or affliction, right? And a disciple needs to deny who? Not the devil, but who? Himself. That's amazing. He didn't say deny the devil. He said deny yourself. Then come follow me. But ultimately, what I want to deal with for the next few moments is that a disciple, according to our text, young people, in Romans 8 and 33, got to have their mind right. Or Mark, thank you. 8 and 33. We have to have the right mindset as a young man or as a young woman. Now, we must remember the mind is the place where we store memories, right? And we need to control our memories, especially when we have memories of the past. We don't need to allow memories of the past to keep us from moving forward. But then there are some good memories of the past, right? The mind is the place, young people, where we process ideas and thoughts. And we know that every idea and thought that we have in our mind is not godly. And so whatever crosses your mind, you have to be the type of young person, young adult that thinks. You don't want to have the reputation of where you always say, I don't know what I was thinking. No, you need to know what you're thinking. You need to control your mind. And there are times we get caught up and we just lose our mind, but we need to remember that our God gave us a sound mind. And so we need to control our thoughts, control our ideas, control your dreams. Wake up out that nasty dream. Ooh, Lord, help me forget that. The mind, young people, is powerful. It's the place where we retain wisdom, or as I said earlier, knowledge and understanding. And so in our text, the disciples, and especially Peter, did not have their mind in the right place. Woo! Peter, young people, was a leader. A leader in the church didn't have his mind in the right place. You could be a leader in your family, in the church, and like Peter, it's imperative or important that you have your mind in the right place. Jesus turned to his disciples and Peter and told them, y'all mind ain't right. You're more mindful of the things of man than you are the things of God. In a church service, the disciples and one of his main leaders was focused on the wrong thing. Their focus wasn't in the right place. Young people, if you're going to be productive in greater measures, you have to make sure that you remain focused on the right things. In life, there are so many paths you could take, voices you will hear, choices or alternatives that will be put before you. Pastor can't be with you everywhere. Mama ain't gonna be able to pick up the phone and tell you what to do all the time. You have to learn how to have a focused mind. You have to be able to discern what you should do and what you should not do. And how many know that it's the Holy Spirit that will help us? Because he will guide us into all truth. He'll help us to keep a focused mind. Look at somebody and say, you got to be focused this year. Matter of fact, tell yourself, say, I got to focus. I got to focus. I got to make sure my attention is in the right place. You got to make sure you got the right interest in life. What are you looking at? What are you most concerned about? Back when I was y'all age, my focus was on music, money, and girls. That was it. That was my focus. Where they at? How much money can I make? It was all about my own ambition or desires. My mind wasn't in the right place. And you have to examine yourself as a young woman, as a young man, and say, man, what am I really focused on? Am I just focused on getting out this house? I'm just ready to turn 18, because when I turn 18, that's all you focused on. I'm gone. What are you focused on? Man, when I get this car, man, I'm going to be going where I want to go, doing well. What are you focused on? Man, I just need to find me one girl that'll say yes. Man, what I got to do? Get the right haircut? What I got to do? I got to keep wetting my lips. What I got to do? I got to do something. I got to find me one girl that's just willing to let me just do something. What are you focused on? When a person is focused, they are someone that has said, nothing and nobody can control my thoughts. I'm focused on something. You can't control me. You know, there's some young people, their friends control their mind. If their friend don't like it, they don't like it. If their friend don't like somebody else, they don't like somebody else. You that easy to control. Your mind that weak where your peers can control what you think, talk, and do. There are some young people, they are so weak-minded. They can see a celebrity or rapper do a thing, and then they start doing it. So weak-minded. Did y'all see this week how people's mind is just so easily controlled? Now, all these instances, they don't want folk to pray. One athlete get injured, the whole country wants you to start praying. When Jesus told us we should always pray. I mean, you look at it. When you watch TV, they went to thoughts and prayers, our thoughts and prayers, our thoughts and prayers. Then they went through a few years where our thoughts are with you, our thoughts are with you. But then when something tragic, they go back, hey, y'all be praying. Y'all be praying. And everybody's mind just does what the world and the media want them to do. We don't need to let anything or anybody control our mind. Man, you don't even know Young Thug. You don't even know Gunna. But you got some young folk, they keep up. Man, they talking about getting 56 years. Man, you know such and such did a plea deal. They could tell you everything about the case because that's what's put before their mind. This is what I want y'all to think of. Woo, look at somebody and say, mind control. And see, our mind can be controlled by something evil, worldly, or godly. I want God to control my mind. Woo, what about you? I said, I want God to control my mind. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we have to be careful, young people, that we don't allow anything or anybody that's outside of God to control our mind. If you ever bump into a young man, young woman, that tell you, you'll never find anybody better than me. Don't you let that seed get planted in your mind. You need to look at them and rebuke them like Jesus say, the devil is a lie. It's always somebody better. If somebody come to you and tell you, you ain't nothing. You sorry. You just like so-and-so. Don't you let that get in your mind. You do like Jesus and rebuke him and say, the devil is a lie. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You'd be amazed of the things that young people have let get in their mind. Amen. I have had young people tell me they have had family members tell boys in their family, you'd be a cute girl. And that get planted in their mind. I have seen young boys that allowed their siblings to dress them up as girls when they were children, to play different things. And that seed got planted in their mind. And when they got older, the boy had identity crisis, thinking that he was a girl instead of a boy. But when I'm focused, young people, it says that I'm fixed on a conclusion. Jesus told Peter and the disciples the conclusion of his life, right? That's what he was focused on, laying down his life for the sins of the world. But Peter was fixed on something else. His conclusion was contrary to God's conclusion. He was focused on the wrong conclusion. What does that mean to us, young people? When you get to going through things in life, what we see is only temporary. It's not the ultimate conclusion. So we have to focus on what God said or what he revealed through his prophets. That's my conclusion. That's my end. You're going through financial trouble now. Bankruptcy, being broke is not your conclusion unless you focus on that. But you focus on God said, if I bring his tithe and offering into his storehouse, he'd open up the windows of heaven, pour me out blessing I have not room enough to receive. And he rebuked the devourer for my name's sake. That's my focus. Malachi 3:8-10. Luke 6:38. That's my focus. Even when you mess up, young people, if you go to jail, prematurely get pregnant, bump into legal problems, that's not the end. You focus on the promises of God. Man, God has blessed me and other ministers up here where we have the opportunity to prophesy to you, teach you, and let you know that no matter what you go through, it ain't over until God says it's over. Sadly, some of you may turn 18, 19, 21, and leave the church. We don't want that to happen, but if you do, and God be merciful to you, you need to remember in your mind that God is a restorer. God can still work with you if he be merciful. How many see the importance of our mind being focused? How many have ever been guilty of focusing on the wrong thing? Look, you going to school to get a degree. You don't go to school to get no girls. Man, I'm trying to go down there. That's where the hoes at, baby. That's where I'm going. No, your focus is wrong. You got to have the right focus. Man, I want to live with my mama because she let me do anything. Daddy too strict. So your focus is wrong. You just want to go live somewhere where you can do what you want to do. Look at somebody and say, what you focus on is very important. I'm closing. Jesus said his disciples were focused on the things of men, specifically Peter. When a person is focused on the things of men, it says that they're more focused on the things of the world their personal cares, and their own ambitions. Nothing needs to come before God. But Peter was focused on things that were contrary to the will of God, young people. He was focused on the things of men. You can write this down. I'm not going to tell you to go there, but in Mark 4, 18 and 19, it talks about a sower who sows the word. And the sower was the preacher, and the seed was the word. And he sowed the seed or the word on different grounds or on different people's lives. One of them fell on a ground that was among thorns. And it says that they heard the word or the message. But 19 says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires, look at this, for other, help me, things entered into their heart and choked the word, and they became unfruitful. So young people, the word can be coming for, but you may not even be focused on the word. You want riches, you want money. And how many know money is a good thing? Yeah, but we shouldn't put it before God. Then he says the desire for other things, the cares of the world. You can't be more focused on your financial trouble, your health, and sorrow than God. We got to make sure we're focused on the right things, because we don't want that word to get choked. At least that's how I feel. We need to make sure we are focused on the things of God. And in my close, as I was in prayer this week, the Lord gave me three specific things that we need to focus on throughout this year when it comes to us having the mind of Christ. Because, young people, I don't know if you're being observant, but the church as a whole, they're focused on the things of men. You see, preachers nowadays, they are focused on the wrong things. Musicians in God's house, they are focused on the wrong thing. Ministers, leaders, it's sad, but they are focused on the wrong thing. We need to be a Christ-minded church. And so I want to share these three things that the Spirit of God gave me, and I pray you receive them and apply them to your life. When it comes to us being focused or mindful of the things of God, number one, it says that we are focused on the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord. What are we focused on? Say it with me. Say it like you're interested in it. We are focused on the. Yeah. We're focused on what God reveals from his prophet. We're focused on the message that's coming forth for that week. That's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm interested in. That's where my mind is set. Whatever that subject matter is for that week, that's my focus. That's my interest. And you got to understand that when you leave God's house, this atmosphere, there are going to be a number of things pulling on your mind. And they're going to want you to focus on them. But you have to have a set mind. You have to have your mind. I remember, I got to be focused this week. That's what the man of God said. I got to be focused this week. I got to be focused on this, that, and the other. I got to be locked in, interested, thinking about, dreaming about, meditating on what came forth from God's shepherd. That's what I'm focused on. I said, that's what I'm focused on. If the message came forth and told me to expect the unexpected, no matter what I'm going through, I'm expecting unexpected blessings. If the message told me to watch and pray, I'm going to be this. I'm going to make sure that I'm watching and pray. That's what I'm focused on. But when you leave the presence of God in his church, you're going to have a lot of stuff going on in the world that's going to try to get your focus. But from this point on, we should be to the point to where our focus on is on that word. You go home, and in your marriage, you're trying to apply the word. You're going home as a husband, trying to make sure everybody in your family is focused. You check your wife out, y'all talking. You talk to your kids, you see where their focus is. Mother gets with the children. But then as a teenager, you got to have such a serious relationship with God to where you refocus. Man, is this music I'm listening to helping me to focus on God? Are these folk that I'm talking to when I play my video games, am I focused in the place I need to be? The folk I hang out and go to lunch with, are we focused on the same things? You just have to examine yourself. But see, if you leave here and you don't do this, you just playing. You just talking. Disciples hear the word and apply it. Secondly, when a person is mindful of the things of God or focused on the things of God, they are responsible for their post or their assignment. You are responsible for your assignment or your post. What is a post? What are you responsible for in God's house? My post is the pastor. So I got to make sure I'm constantly feeding God's people with knowledge and what? Understanding. But if you are an armor bearer, you are a musician, you gotta stay in your post. You gotta make sure you're handling what God has made you responsible for. You gotta make sure that you are serving with gladness and you're taking care of God's business. Me speaking into your life, me studying, praying throughout the week, that's a part of God's business. I got to make sure I'm on my post. Whatever God has chosen you to do, to MC, to pray, to sing, play an instrument, hand out envelopes, handle the camera, or what have you, you got to make sure that you are on your post. You're handling God's business. Look at somebody and say, handle God's business. I'm not going to go there, but in Isaiah 21 and 8, it talks about how watchmen back in the Bible, they stood on their posts day and night. And so what they would do, young folk, they would assign different people to stand watch over the people of God. And sometimes they would go up in a tower and they would look out and they would make sure that no enemies were coming in to overthrow the people of God. Sometimes the prophet was a watchman. And the prophet was responsible for making sure that God's people knew about evil, knew about sin. And he would cry loud and spare not because he didn't want God's people to start practicing sin. And see, because God does not change, you have to look in your life. What has God made you responsible for? Are you handling business? Look at somebody say, we got to tighten up. Yeah, we got to take it serious. I got to make sure whatever God has given me that I'm on top of everything. I'm being a good steward. Why is this so important? Because if I'm faithful over what God has given me, I'm going to abound in blessings. A faithful young person, the Bible says, abounds in blessing. So if you're handling your responsibilities the way you need to be in the church, God is going to bless you. Can we go outside the church? Outside the church, whatever your parents have made you responsible for, you need to make sure whatever they have made you responsible for, you're doing it as unto the Lord. If all your parents have done is given you the responsibility of keeping your room clean, your bathroom clean, the car clean, making good grades, being respectful, ironing your clothes, washing your clothes, cutting the grass, raking the leaves, washing the pots. Whatever they have made you responsible for, you need to be on top of it. Because you need to have the mindset, if I'm faithful, I'm going to abound in blessing. Woo, I just got to make sure I'm handling my business. I'm keeping the carpet vacuumed. I don't like to change the bag, but I'll do it because that's a part of me vacuuming. Oh, I'll take the trash out. I'll feed the cat. I'll wash the dog. Whatever God has made me responsible for in the church and outside the church, I'm going to be on top of it. That means you got to get on top of your bills. If you got bills, you need to make sure you pay what you owe or set up some type of arrangement. Yeah, you be on top of your stuff. If you giving a teacher a hard time in your class, tighten up. Tighten up. Look at somebody say, tighten up. Because you got the mindset, I may not like this teacher, but I got to graduate on time. So let me go ahead and take care of my business. Got to take care of my business. Woo, look at somebody say, take care of your business. That's right. That's right. And again, if we take care of business, we handle our posts, if we're responsible, God gonna bless us. And finally, when we're mindful or focused on the things of God, we are diligent in making sure that we're productive. I'm concerned about my prosperity. God has charged me to be productive in every aspect of my life. When I'm focused or my mind is focused, that's what my mindset is. I'm trying to be productive in every aspect. If all you do is flip burgers, you be the best burger flipper in 2023. Well, I ain't trying to be here long, but why are you there? While you there, put that cheese on straight. Put the extra sauce on right. Be productive at whatever it is you put your hand to. Build your resume up so when they go back to make phone calls, folk have a good report about you. You're striving to be productive in every aspect. If you selling shirts, hoodies, whatever, be productive at that. Selling cars, be productive at that. Doing hair, be pro, be productive. That's your mindset. And you don't let nothing mess up your productivity. You don't let anything or anybody mess up your prosperity. And see, young people, as I get ready to end it on this last point, we learn that from Samson. Samson was a man who was anointed, blessed of God, but his focus wasn't in the right place, and he messed up his productivity and his prosperity. God can be blessing you, using you, but our choices, if we're not focused the way we need to be, we can mess up our own productivity and prosperity. I don't want to set myself back. Woo, woo, y'all are young. And so you need to take advantage of being young. And if you form good habits now, man, when you get older, not too many people are going to be able to handle you. And I'm saying that in a good way. You form these good habits now. You got a little bit of money coming in. You ask God, Lord, how much should I be saving, putting back? You got the advantage of time. You're young. You're in your teens. You start now. Well, all it is $5. Hey, you add up $5 for 10 years. Just putting back $5 a week and come back in 10 years when you're 25 and tell me how much you got. Will you take it? I'll take it. But in the beginning, $5 don't seem like, it don't seem like a lot. You just strive to be productive in just every aspect of your life. And you don't let nobody stop you from being productive because that's what you're focused on. You're focused on having good success. Am I talking to anybody in here? But in order for this to happen, you got to be focused. You can't be playing around. You got to have a focused mindset and do what Jesus said. We got to focus on the things of God. I got to make sure that I'm connecting with the word that's coming for, the prophet, and what he's giving. I got to make sure I'm taking care of my responsibilities in the church and where else? Outside the church. And I got to make sure whatever I'm doing, I'm being productive. You don't be satisfied with being no C student. You don't be satisfied with being no B student. You set the goal. You strive for A student. Now, if it's just that challenging and you come up to be B, okay. But we ain't just trying to slide and get no B. Okay? You A material. You excellent. You AP student. You smart like that. Come on and prophesy and tell yourself, I'm smart like that. See, some of y'all scared to say it. Yeah. You're striving to be productive in whatever it is you put your hand to. And you don't let nobody you meet in person or online mess you up. Why? You got a focused mind. Tell somebody, say, I got to have. Matter of fact, tell yourself, say, I got to have a focused mind. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.